If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, and welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. When I meet people with grown kids, I like to ask them, so how did it turn out? Because all of our amazing parenting, all of our ideas and concepts of how to raise our kids in the best possible way, how they actually turn out is when the rubber meets the road. I talk about what I want from my kids, how I want them to get married, and I'm open about the fact that I want them to marry within our Jewish faith. I want them to have kids. I want them to have a career, sure, but be fulfilled in their work. And I want them to know that communism never works, not even one time. I'm joking / not joking about the last one. I don't care if my kids share my politics, but I would like them to share the facts of reality with me. I want us to agree on what those are. It's not just ideological. My older two are 14 and 11. We talk a lot about political concepts, history, ideology, all of it, really. My youngest, he's 8, and he's the baby of the family. And the conversations haven't come quite as easily with him on the bigger topics of life. I hear from other parents who are struggling to begin these conversations, these bigger conversations with their children. I think a really good place to start, and a topic that gets covered in our house more often than you'd think, are the Salem witch trials. I know, sounds crazy. I don't know what my kids will believe when they grow up, but I want them to really understand the madness of crowds and forced conformity. Like, that's a big thing for me. That's actually the main thing for me. Believe what you want, but don't just fall in line. A few days ago on Twitter, journalist Aaron Sabariam reported a story of mandatory structural racism class at UCLA Medical School, where a guest speaker gave a really insane talk, but really that's sort of besides the point here. It's really not about the politics. The speaker demanded that the kids bow down, literally get on their hands and knees for Mother Earth. One kid stayed in their seat. If that's my kid, then I will know that I have parented correctly. There's this famous picture of a Nazi rally in Germany in the late 1930s, and everyone is standing there with their arm outstretched in a salute, but one guy is sitting. Everybody wants to be that guy. Everybody thinks they would be that guy. But the fact that a UCLA medical school class all got on their hands and knees to praise Mother Earth because some guy told them to, I mean, that's a problem. I don't need my kids to align with my politics. I just need them to be that guy sitting in his seat at the Nazi rally. It extends, you know, beyond politics too. A number of years ago, I wrote about a dog that was put in the overhead compartment on a plane. I'm not a dog person. I'm actually allergic, and that's why. I love animals, but I just could never get close enough to them to really be a dog person or, you know, whatever. The dog barked and barked and then stopped barking because the dog died. And what I wrote at the time is, quote, "One person uncritically following an authority figure is understandable. A plane full of people doing the same is terrifying. This incident doesn't exist in a vacuum. When someone goes to put a dog in an overhead compartment, there should be a chorus of voices to say it's a bad idea and stop them if they persist. That there wasn't is a bad sign for our society." And like I said, I'm not a dog person, but there's no way in hell anybody's putting a dog in an overhead compartment while I sit there. Absolutely not. I'm getting kicked off that flight in my argument for it. My husband, by the way, loves that. Loves that I will get into a fight everywhere we go for this kind of thing. But I would. I would not let somebody put a dog in an overhead compartment. Like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and I will defend that to the end. In that same piece, I note an old episode of The Office, which features Michael unquestionably following his GPS and driving into a lake. He screams, "The machine knows," as his friend tries to stop him. You know, this idea that machines are infallible is crazy. And unthinkingly following either a car into a lake or a stewardess who says to put the dog in an overhead is madness. Stepping in on behalf of others should be something we routinely do. I wrote, "If you find yourself in a situation where you're thinking somebody should do something, make that somebody you and teach your children to become the type of people who would do the same. It isn't enough to see something, say something. We must feel obligated to do something." And that's really it. I want my kids to be the helpers, to step in without being asked. It starts with being able to identify the madness of crowds and to pull yourself apart from the herd. Coming up next, an interview with Erin Elmore. Join us after the break.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today, you've seen her on your TV, Erin Elmore, Esquire attorney, Republican strategist, and Turning Point USA contributor. Hi, Erin.
How are you?
You know, I don't think I knew you were a lawyer until I asked how you wanted to be introduced. I saw you as, you know, a media person, but I didn't know you were an attorney.
I went to law school. I passed the bar exam. I practiced for a very short amount of time. And then I went on the show The Apprentice, which I'm sure we'll be talking about. And then I never practiced law again.
Wow, that's so interesting. I mean, I knew you were on The Apprentice, but I didn't know that that was the impetus to, you know, not do law. What made you make the change?
I mean, being a young lawyer was not fun. I was just sitting in an office filing paperwork. I mean, basically, I was working for the auto industry. Every time a bus full of nuns rolled over, I would have to try to defend it. And it was terrible.
Right. We don't want to defend that. I mean, in general, but
no. So I really didn't like practicing law.
So what made you, first of all, what made you go on The Apprentice? What was the spark for that?
So this is back in the day, right? And it was the number one show on television. I was sitting in my office thinking, wow, I've got to find a way out of this. And people kept calling me and they said, there's an apprentice tryout in Philadelphia where I'm from. And after the fifth phone call, I said, you know what? I'll go over there. And I went and I stood in line like everybody else. And I just had a really sharp MAGA red suit on. And this is way before MAGA. So I think maybe there was something to that. And I kind of stood out and I had a lot to say. And the producers were like, everybody, we'll call you if you make it. Just go home. We'll give you a call. And then the lady like grabbed me on the sly. She was like, and so one thing led to another and I went on to the next level. And 2 weeks later, I was living in Trump Tower.
Wow. So you're pretty close with the Trump family now, but you didn't know them at all before that.
No, of course not. I only knew The Art of the Deal.
So interesting. So what was the experience like?
Wild. You had to work really, really hard. Every 3 days was a 1 week episode. So you're grinding it out and you're not living in luxury in Trump Tower. You're living on basically a glorified TV set, right? Mm-hmm. You can't control the lights. You don't have your phone. You don't have access to the computers. You don't have a credit card. So you're basically filming 24/7, fixated on this. It's wild.
And did you hit it off with them at the time? Like, because, you know, if anybody goes to your Instagram, there's a lot of pictures of you with like Lara Trump and the other Trump kids. Was it an instant like connection?
Well, you know, Lara, Eric was still in high school or maybe even younger at the time. He's younger than I. And Lara wasn't around yet. So I just had stayed in contact with the family over the years. Rona Graff was President Trump's personal assistant. And I stayed in touch with her. And as soon as he said he was running for president, I called Rona and said, I have an undergraduate degree in political science and broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I've been doing broadcasting now for a while. I need to help get this man elected because he was so wonderful to me and so great to me. I will do anything I can to bring this man to the White House. And that was my basically baptismal by fire intro into politics.
When did you move to Florida?
During COVID. We moved in May of, well, it wasn't an intentional move, right? Mm-hmm. So there were riots, you know, around the George Floyd stuff. And my husband's a 9/11 survivor and there were fires burning below us. Helicopters.
Where were you?
Philadelphia.
You were in Philly. Uh-huh.
The city was burning and my husband was having flashbacks to 9/11 and we like packed a suitcase in the night, basically got on an airplane to Florida and saw how people were living. You know, my schools were closed. My son couldn't play any sports. We were stuck indoors and you get to Florida and people are living totally normally and summer camps were open. So I found the local JCC. They took my son and it was sort of like, we'll stay for a month. We'll stay for 2 months. And basically we never left.
Yeah, that, I feel like that's a familiar story, especially like in our part of South Florida, people kind of giving it a shot and then just never leaving because it's so great.
It is great.
So, you know, one thing I always think about you is you really seem to be having fun. Like you don't seem like you're kind of one of these negative people. I know things are hard in the world and things are bad in our country, but you always just seem like you're having a good time. Is that like... Truthful?
Yeah. I mean, basically 99.9% of the time. Yeah. I really try to be optimistic and positive. And if I'm going to do something, I want to make it fun, right? Mm-hmm. Life can be really hard and there is so much to stress about that's dour and negative in the world. So if you can bring some joy to your day, then I say I'm all for it.
Do you feel like you've made it?
Well, in terms of what, like a success situation?
Yeah, or whichever. You know, I ask that of everybody who comes on the show. And I get a range of answers. I get people who are like, you know, gazillionaires saying like, no, I haven't made it. And then just, you know, it might not have anything to do with career, might not have anything to do with success. Just in general, do you feel like you've made it?
Well, you know what? Right now I'm raising a 10-year-old son with my husband and it's hard. You know, you have family and it's, so right now I would say no, because there are things that I'm working on with parenting that are so hard and so complex and you just don't know what to do. And you try to read books and you ask others. And I think parenting is just all about figuring it out as you go. And we're in like a little bit of a hard phase right now. So until he's the president of the United States or a golfer or an entrepreneur or doing anything right. to make them happy, mm-hmm. I've definitely not made it.
Yeah, I have, my middle son is 11. I totally
it's
hear you.
It's so hard.
He's the hardest one right now, for sure. Like,
it's a tough age.
Yeah,
and he talks back a lot.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Your son doesn't talk back?
Well, I mean, maybe he attempts to, but no, I shut that down.
It's just he always has a comment. But both mm-hmm. someone said this morning that I was speaking with was like, but you and your husband are both so bubbly and
yeah.
jubilant. So it's like maybe he doesn't understand that it's a negative, but he just always wants to add color commentary.
Yes, I actually we get a lot of color commentary over here also.
Yeah.
So what would you say is our largest like societal problem? What would you like to see kind of tackled?
Well, I mean, I hate to say so bluntly, but liberalism, truthfully. But I do think, you know, all the polling is showing right now in terms of politics that the open border is our biggest problem. And I truly believe after we saw what happened to that young, beautiful nursing student in Georgia, mm-hmm. you know, you can live in a place, you can have the right values that you're protected. And then still, because of the values and problems in these liberal places, that you're just, it's still coming to your front door. And I think that that's the, I mean, in terms of our society right now, mm-hmm. I do think that that's our biggest problem.
So we're recording this the day after Super Tuesday. It's going to air in a few weeks. But like last night, the MSNBC, you know, crowd, my producer, John, told me about this because I was asleep by like 10 o'clock. But they were making fun of the idea that people in Virginia considered immigration their most important issue. Like, ha ha, they're so far from the border. Like, what are they having problems with West Virginia? But I think that that's real. You know, the fact that we don't know who's coming in and we don't know kind of. We have no control. So I guess that the question I would ask you is, do you think it's solvable? Do you think a Donald Trump victory, for example, solves that problem? Or are we so far gone down the path that maybe it's not solvable anymore?
I don't think that you can unring the bell of immigration in this country, of illegal immigration anyway. I don't think you can put the toothpaste back in that tube. I don't know how it's a tenable situation. I truly don't. It's something that you see they're now flying people across the border so they're not walking across. And you wonder, is it an intentional destruction of our nation? Is it just to ensure that the population votes a certain way? Which could also backfire, by the way. But it almost feels that it's intentional and unfixable. And you only hope that we can slow it down and we see that Texas Governor Abbott is doing what he can. But I'm not sure that even Donald Trump can fix this problem.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And that's definitely been on my mind a lot. I went to the border recently and I came back really feeling negative about a lot of things, in the country.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back on The Carol Markowitz Show.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This show is generally not about politics, but I think that that's such a cultural problem that we're facing, that societal issues like that spill over from politics into our culture. And so I fully, you know, hear you on that. What do you do to maintain your kind of, you know, you mentioned you're like a bubbly person, and I said that you always seem like you're having fun. Like, what do you do to kind of maintain that when you're feeling negative?
I try to be really introspective, to be honest. Like, if I make a mistake or if I have a bad situation, I have friends that I can rely on, and of course my husband, but I have people that I really rely on as sounding boards who I've trusted and relied on for a long time. So they're really helpful. But then I try to be introspective. I think so many people don't like to be reflective on who they are and what they've done wrong and their mistakes. And I really try to have those moments of introspection, and I'm really hard on myself. You know, when I was on The Apprentice, they made us do all these emotional tests and social tests. And they told me that, I guess, my emotional IQ was, like, their words, off the charts. Mm-hmm. And I had never thought about it before, but I said, maybe that's why I'm always analyzing and evaluating. And I'm like, how is this person feeling about me? Or how is this person feeling about this interaction? So I really try to, you know, care about other people first and foremost.
Yeah.
And have empathy, but also to monitor my every interaction and be really reflective about who I am and the mistakes that I make.
It's so interesting because I think that kind of reflection often leads to people feeling negative, but you're saying it leads you to a positive place. Cause like, I think when you think about like, oh, what is this person thinking of me? Or, you know, if you're always kind of sensing other people's emotions, that tends to bring you down. If you're saying that it doesn't bring you down, right?
No, it helps me create better interactions with those people. So if I saw someone that was kind of quiet or didn't seem that they were having fun, I'll send them a message and say, hey, were you having fun the other night? If not, maybe we should do something different. You know, I just really try to then create positive experiences with people, and I get usually good feedback. So when you get good feedback, it makes you feel good.
Have you made a lot of friends since moving to Florida? I mean, other than like from the internet, like that's my caveat, like the, you know, situational friends.
Oh my God. I have like just as many friends in Florida as I did back home in Philadelphia, where I'm essentially from. So yes, I'm very friendly and I love to talk to people and get to know people. And I have been very successful, especially being in a school. There are so many wonderful moms, and also being around people that share a lot of the same viewpoints that I do. It's a lot easier to make friends when you have things that are commonalities.
Definitely. Yeah. So with something that we talk about on the show, because so many people have moved, is the whole making friends thing. How do you do it? What's the secret sauce?
Well, I would say if you're a female and you like to exercise, go to like one of those fun Pure Barre classes or like Lifetime or another gym, and you'll find people to talk to in there. And you say, have you done this before? This is hard. You know, you just start talking to people, start talking to people. And, you know, at school is always helpful, or join a local group, whether it's a book club or, you know, how you feel like about politics, you can join like Young Republicans, or, you know, just join groups, get involved. Or in Palm Beach, at least where I live, charity is so big. Get involved and volunteer with a charity. There are so many opportunities to meet people. You just have to be talkative and don't be shy.
What would you be doing if you weren't a media personality?
So, you know, what's funny is when I was like 5 years old, I had a tape recorder and I would put on like the radio station in my town, and I would record a tape of me doing what like the radio hosts were doing. So I've always really wanted to be in broadcasting. I don't know what I would be doing. I can't even imagine what I would be doing because that's what I've always wanted. And I told my parents, I studied journalism and political science in undergraduate. My parents were like, you need to go to law school. And, you know, they kind of, I'm glad I have the legal education. There's certainly no downside to it whatsoever. But I just don't know what else I would be doing. I can't, I mean, rescuing dogs now because I love dogs so much, but I can't even think of anything else that I would rather be doing. I'm living my dream.
I totally thought you were going to say something in fashion. I think you're like a really fabulous dresser. And
thank you.
I thought you would be like stylist or, you know, something like that.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a plan B. That's okay. my motto. I have a really bad plan B, but nevertheless.
I do love fashion. I really do. And I always think about what I'm going to wear and how I'm going to wear it because, you know, people tend, not in a bad way, we all kind of have this groupthink mentality. If people are wearing a certain thing, then you think you should probably wear it. And 9 out of 10 times, I buck that trend. I'm like, if all of these girls are wearing floral today, I'm going to wear black. So I think about it. And by the way, it doesn't have to be expensive either. I've done a lot of high-low mixing of things, Amazon this, even though Amazon's bad. Now I'm with Public Square, so. But you can find really cool, different things and have an eclectic sense of style. eBay, t-shirts,
right.
Like a cool skirt, vintage stuff. Yeah. So I do love that.
I thought stylist was an easy call. I don't know how you didn't go for that.
I know. I really, now you have me think, you know, it's like you don't think of what you don't think of.
Right. Yeah. So what are your favorite stores? Like, what are some suggestions?
I basically shop online mostly, other than if I go to like a thrift store or a vintage store or eBay. Like I bought a vintage like from Israel with Love shirt. But I do everything from Zara, which is super affordable, to Zimmerman, which is a little higher end. I will literally shop anywhere. If I see a pop-up ad, I go for it. I love like sneakers too. I really like Nikes, and I don't have anything that's go-to. I'm just always trying to find something new and different. And when you're, and it also at night when I can't sleep, I swear it lowers my blood pressure to look at clothes online. I'm like, ooh, I like that. I
mean, so funny. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. It's relaxing. It's like,
yeah, I'll pick out outfits for my friends. I'm like, this will look so good on you. So I literally am always scouring the internet for something different. The outfit I had on, I did a big charity event at Mar-a-Lago for wine. It's called Wine Women in Shoes, benefiting Big Dog Ranch Rescue. It's the largest no-kill rescue in the world. And I found this outfit that looked like very vintage Chanel, but it was from this small Vietnamese designer. So it's just about scouring the internet.
I really like that. I think that I'm going to look at clothes more often when I can't sleep instead of like scrolling, doom scrolling on the internet.
Or text me and I'll just send you, if you're like, okay, going to
I should have you on call. I don't know what I've been doing this whole time.
I really love doing that. I love it. It literally lowers my blood pressure. So if you need an outfit for an event, I got you, girl.
So what are you doing with Public Square? What's the connection?
Public Square is what I describe, if people don't know, as the conservative Amazon. And so in between The Apprentice and politics, there's like a 10-year window. And I took a job on air at QVC, which is the home shopping channel. And people would think, oh, that's just, you're just talking about stuff. And it's a lot of data. You're getting information in real time. It's a very methodical way of presenting products to people. So I really learned a lot about how to sell a product. And I talked to the CEO of Public Square and I told him we should turn QVC into Public Square and vice versa. And so we're kind of making our own little shopping experience with all of our amazing vendors and products because all of these people on Public Square, we all share the same values and they all have a really cool story to tell.
Really cool. Yeah.
So I want to be able to tell these stories. I would be there with the creator of the product and say, why did you do this? How did you come up with this? What was your motivation? And then people will feel personally connected to these products. And it just really brings them from black and white into color.
And they're Florida based now as well.
Yeah,
right?
I'm in the office right now, Palm Beach.
That's great. Yeah. I think that they're really doing something unique.
I love
like watching where they go. So I love talking to you. I think we've covered a lot of ground, but end here with your best tip for my listeners on how they can improve their lives.
I'm thinking for a minute. The best way to improve your lives is always think about other people and really try to be a good friend. Right? Don't get me wrong. This is a lot about pop culture too. I love The Housewives. I love gossip. I love tea. But I would say, learn how to keep a secret, be a good friend, always think about your actions, and at the end of the day, try to do charitable things for others and hopefully for dogs.
Hopefully for dogs. Thank you so much, Erin Elmore. Nice to have you on.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Carol Markowitz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.